appreciate you coming. It was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting us.
Yes.
So, interesting that we know that the Torah, we're speaking of Vayakel, begins with the Azorah, the warning about Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos. Shabbos is not Doka the Mishkan. He sees that originally when Akash Baruch Hu is finishing the presentation to Moshe Rabbeinu about the Mishkan, the details, we find there as well. Baruch Hu told him, Shamru, that to keep the Shabbos. However, though, what's the Hachmir in the first place? Why would one think that one could do walk out of the Mishkan on Shabbos? The Isser of Shabbos is given. What's the happening that they should be told? Like you're saying, we're told you can't eat non-kosher food. And so here's some money to buy some food. We're saying, you buy the food, just remember, you can't go to McDonald's. They know that. What does it have to be warned in the first place? There should be double kosher. So the simple explanation of the Chora would be that the Chet HaEgel, the whole Rashi quotes from the Midrash Tanhuma throughout Rashi, the other Mefarshim, throughout the whole theme of the Mishkan, a lot of the theme of the Mishkan is being a tikkun and a kapara, atonement or rectification from the Chet HaEgel. From the Chet HaEgel, we know Bnei Yisrael took into their own hands the Avodas Hashem. Didn't begin as Avodas Zara, like the Mefarshim explained. So Chazal began, they wanted a leader, a tangible leader. Moshe was coming down, one leader. So one thing led to the other, Erevav made it into an Avodas Zara, and the people followed, and all the tragedies happened. But really, they took it into their own hands. Not only that, even before they made the egel, they mecheshmen out. They said, Moshe's supposed to come down in 40 days. We calculated it, our calculation didn't come down. So therefore, this is what we have to do. They were created in the Avodas Hashem. So, Shmuel is telling Klal Yisrael, even though right now you're being given another opportunity to be creative in the Avodas Hashem, this time it has to be in the Gedarim, within the parameters of the Avodas Hashem, of Hashem's Tzibui originally. That you can be creative. Mishkan obviously was a creative activity. Hashem told them how to make it and so forth, but that obviously required human talent, human creativity, their own investment of their efforts, of their minds, their souls, and everything like that. It wasn't just robotic. They had to follow what Hashem said. They required the kochos of human beings, their minds, their talents, and so forth. But Hashem said, even though your creative act has to fall from the getter of Shabbos. What is Hashem? Creativity of Hashem. We'll get to it. That's a place for that. It has to all be within the getter of Avodas Hashem. One interesting question, though, is that if you contrast how the Torah presents the Isser of Shabbos, building the Mishnah on Shabbos in Kisisa versus Vayakel, you'll see it's clearly different. In Kisisa, Kishvarachu tells me, that's how Rashi quotes this. Hashem tells Moshe, and so forth. However, my Shabbosim you shall keep. And Rashi explains, Chazal, Ach means but, however, Mishkan, but however, you must keep Shabbos. If you look, though, at the explanation, the way the Torah presents, I should say, in Vayakel, it's pretty different. It's very short, but different. Vayakel, where the Torah presents the Yisur of Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael, "Sheishis yamim tiyasa malacha, malach shudam for 6 days. When Hashvi Shabbos yalachem, Kodesh Shabbos Vassal Hashem, Kol osav malacha limas. It's a variation. You don't keep Shabbos and you can't burn fire. Machlokas how they are with what it means. It doesn't say like it's pretty clear in Kisisa that build the Mishkan, but don't do it on Shabbos. The purpose of presenting Shabbos here is because you should know when to build the Mishkan. There's a limit. Do it 6 days, not on Shabbos. The Torah simply says." Keep Shabbos, do Malacha 6 days, don't do 7 days. Then Moshe commands the people to bring materials for the Mishkan. It doesn't say, like he says in Kisisa, basically, don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. Build the Mishkan, ach es Shabbos, however, keep Shabbos. Here it doesn't say, if somebody says, keep Shabbos, then unrelated seemingly, the Torah presents the Mishkan. So why is the Torah not spell out more clearly? What's Hashem's message here? That doesn't say the Mishkan, the Shabbos is not connected, but inherently to the Mishkan. It's not like a stipulation. It's Shabbos is a separate thing, and then the Mishkan. Chazal tell us that's what it means here. The Mefarshim say that. But why is it presented in such an unusual way? So I think the idea is as follows. A lot of the when we're doing Avodas Hashem, when we're doing whatever we're doing, the person has to be careful not to violate the Torah in the process. There are two ways to view it. One way to view it is, I'm doing my thing, the stipulation, I'm not violating Shabbos. I'm not violating the Torah. I'll eat whatever I want. I'll just make sure I stay with its kosher. I can be a professor. I can do whatever I'm going to do. Technically, though, I'm keeping the halacha. Technically, it's a stipulation I must keep. This is totally different, though. Hashem told me Israel, there's the Shabbos. Priority, Shabbos. Not just as a stipulation of the Mishkan, but that is your priority. Shabbos is being avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the master of the universe. He created the world. He commanded us. We're meshubah to Him. Shabbos is the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're meshubah to Hashem's authority. With that in mind, we then build the Mishkan. It's not just that Shabbos is a stipulation. Build the Mishkan, but just don't let Shabbos, make sure Shabbos doesn't get in the way, so to say. Make sure you don't do it on Shabbos. Make sure I do it in a technical way that I'm complying with the Torah. No, it's more than that. It's that this is the start. It's the middle. It's the end. Shabbos. Hashem's authority. That is what matters. What is Hashem? Hashem's authority, listening to the Dvar Hashem. That's what matters. Once we have that, then we can engage in the Mishkan. Totally different message. Not just a stimulation. It's a technicality. It shouldn't get in the way, Chalila, but that's what Shabbos, that's what it is. Hashem's authority has to be the starting point and the ending point and the middle point for everything. And then we can talk about the Mishkan, about doing other creative things with Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we see a lot of time, whether it's, we see today, even within Frumkeit, different movements, different whatever, it's emphasis on Kodesh Hashem, it can't just be that, make sure it doesn't get in the way. I saw something for one of certain shuls when he sent me something, and they have some type of davening in which they, it's not a regular shul, they call it the Orthodox, in which they either do meditation or exercises during Shacharis, as Shacharis. But they have a thing that we asterisk, we make sure to make all the zamanim. We make sure we don't interrupt, make hafsakos that are against the Shulchan Aruch. No, they daven, they create a new type of davening, but they say, technically we're in the bounds. That we're being told here, no. Authority, Hashem's authority, listen to what Hashem says to do. Avodas Hashem, Obed Hashem, that's our mandate. That's just technicality, condition we will fulfill. That is what every Avodah Hashem has to be defined by that, permeated by that. That's what it's all about. And that's the idea of here of Shabbos. Why Shabbos is presented in a definitive way, not just a stipulation, but this is what it is. This is the beginning, this is everything. This is the crux of the whole matter. At the beginning of Parshas Truma, Baruch Hu commanded Bnei Israel to commanded Moshe about the building of the Mishkan, the materials we know, and so forth. However, in Vayakel, it's a different presentation. We know is somewhat different. There, Moshe Rabbeinu, there he relates what Hashem says. He tells Bnei Israel to construct the building materials and have the Mishkan, but it's different. In Truma, Hashem says, "Give the materials, and here are the kelim we're going to build." It's straight out. Here, though, in this case, the Bnei Israel are told, get the materials, bring them. Then Moshe presents the Bnei Israel and tells them afterwards who's going to be in charge of this project. He tells Hashem B'tzal ben Uri ben Hur l'Matei Yehuda. B'tzal is in charge. Hashem gave him a special spirit, special ruach. He has special intellect, and all leaders will join him and so forth. And they're going to have the crew. Why is it different? Why didn't Bnei Israel? They should have been quite in advance. Have everything set up in advance. They we told, bring the materials. You're right, bring materials, and it's going to be built, and you'll build it, or bring them beforehand. Have the crew set up with Vitzalo, bring the materials, and he's going to build the Mishkan. Tell them Mitzchila. Why first they have to go gather all the materials, bring them, and then they're told, what's next? Next thing is, oh, there's a person called Vitzalo, and he's going to be in charge of the Mishkan. Why didn't they know originally? It would have been more efficient. Have Vitzalo organize the crews, we're told, here are the materials, that person, Bitzalel, that person, Aliyah, they're in charge, bring them to them, and they'll do it. First they bring in thing, then they wait, Moshe, what's going to be next? And Moshe tells them, oh, there's a person, Bitzalel, he's going to have, we're going to direct the Mishkan. Why was it done this way? So, the Chorig, this is all these, most of what I'm saying tonight is the connection of the Chet Egel and the Mishkan. Same thing again. In Israel, they showed their submissiveness to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rather than, if Moshe told them the command of the Mishkan, he didn't give them any product of any details. He didn't tell them how to weave the fibers for the big day kuna. There's a general command. What we've really done that way is intentionally, as a test. Someone says, here are the materials for the Mishkan. Now they could have said, okay, the materials, let's try it on our own, figure out what the Mishkan must be. Let's try to build it. Let's try to figure out big day kuna. We'll try to, what we think is proper. No. They said, no. Hashem said to Moshe, bring the materials. We brought the materials. We know they're from Mishkan. We brought materials. We say, what's next, Moshe? We want to know exactly what's next. Moshe had to deliver to Moshe's instruction. Oh, but Saul is going to be in charge. But Dafka attests that way. It was set up in a way that to see if they would, again, take into their own hands and say, this is how we think the Mishkan should be built. Or no, they bring materials and wait for instructions, wait for Moshe. And that's what has to be. In the Mishkan, we know, in the actual instruction, next part, everything kasher, Siva Hashem es Moshe. That is dozens of times. Hashem commanded Moshe. That's the Mishkan. That's the whole idea. Being subjugating their rut zone, their creativity, their desires, their intellect, their hearts, everything to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's, I think, why this so-called inefficient way that it was commanded, in which the Mishkan was, in Parshas Truma, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, here have the base, bring these various materials, and they're going to build the Aron and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, all the Aron and the Kruvim and the Shulchan and the Menorah, and it was straight out. Here, Bnei Israel are told, bring the materials for the Mishkan, and they brought the materials, and then they're introduced to a person called Bezalel and Aholiab, and they're told this is what they're going to do with their teams of people who are Hoshe Machshavos, they're brilliant people who Hashem gave into them. They had the knowledge to construct things. Was that rather than them being told originally, Tehila, bring him to Bezalel, he'll make these kelim for you, they're told a little vague tzibur, bring the materials for the Mishkan. And they bring them, and that's it. When they await for the instruction, because the idea was, rather than taking their own hand saying, well, we'll build the Mishkan this way, we're told the materials, we don't know exactly what the Mishkan is, so we'll try their own to figure it out and build down our way with these decide it should be. No, they were tested and said, bring materials, and they waited, they brought, and then the Rosh said, now you have them, now Bezalel is going to be in charge of it. It was presented in a way that would be a Nisayon to them in Berks, and they passed, of course, this Nisayon. It's interesting that that also with the Mishkan, the sequence of events is a little bit unusual here. Not just in terms of how this difference between how the Mishkan was presented, the Tzivoy in Truma versus now, how to bring the materials and build the Mishkan. Here they had the bar and they waited. But not only that, but it's interesting. We know here in the Torah that they brought the materials and they were told after a certain time, it's enough. It says that Bezalel and his crew told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yom Ril Moshe Lame, where they told Moshe saying, Marbi Mam Lahavi, they brought enough stuff already, they brought a lot of stuff. Midi Havodal Amalach, they brought enough for all the work. Ashativa Hashem Lasa Sissa, it's not Moshe, but you called Moshe made an announcement. Isha Al Yasu, oh Malachal, he's too much of Kodesh. Don't give any more, we have enough. Why not originally tell the people how much is needed? Isn't this going to, again, be more efficient? Rather than saying, bring stuff, bring these materials, and then they just bring, and then they're told at a certain point, don't bring any more. Shouldn't it have been better? Get the architects, get the people to measure out, to evaluate materials, like any construction project, find how much materials are needed, and then you order the materials. Then you go ahead and place the order. Then you access the construction items, rather than being done in a so-called inefficient manner. Why was it done this way? So the simple answer would be that Bnei Israel, they should donate out of their hearts. Okay. Give a slave. They should do it utmost generosity. Give a limit, a predetermined limit. They're going to say, well, there's a limit. Some other people will be bringing this, so I won't bring this. And I'll bring this much, but I won't bring too much because there's already going to be a million people trying to do the same thing as me. So rather than that, so they, with free spirit, they want with Ava, the Yiva slave, to give to Mishkan, no limit was set. He said, bring, and then later on, a limit would give. It was told afterwards, we have enough. That's the simple explanation to the Yiva slave, to Avas Hashem. However, though, on a deeper level, I think it may be as follows. Now, with Ebenezer Israel at the Har Sinai, he said, Na'as Ebenishma, we don't need to understand. We'll do what Hashem says. We'll understand it afterwards. We'll learn the Torah, we'll understand the Torah, but we're doing what Hashem says it. Submissiveness of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's our mandate. What was the Chet Egel? The opposite. It was really Nishma Vanase. They said, Moshe, we don't, Oshe, Lidana Mehailu, we don't happen to Moshe. We'll figure out what to do. We'll make what they made the Egel. They use their own cheshbonos, their own subjective, limited human minds to determine how to serve Hashem in terms of Vodazar. That's what it really was. It was really a question. We're really doing Nishma Vanase. We're going to determine, we're going to work, we're going to interpret it. Yeah, we interpret it, or the Mahalach to do. Then we're going to proceed based on our interpretations. So here, in this case, the Israel, they were just told, give. We're not told how much. We're not told exactly how it's going to be. They knew the general things, but they didn't know how it's going to be used, how the fibers. They were only told the materials in general, just give. They just gave. Basically, just give, do what Moshe says. You don't have to know the why. You don't have to know the limits. You don't have to know how it's going to be used in the final analysis. Is my giving in a way that's efficient, that's effective? Like, people want to give a donation of the time. They want to make sure that the collector's not going to want to, how is he going to collect for himself? Or is it going to really be used for this thing, or is he going to take it into a general fund and use it to pay the staff? So they want to know in advance exactly. And I understand that. We don't want money, tzedakah money, to go to good causes. Here, the tzedakah, it was to serve a kosher spark. The giving was a vote of Hashem. It had to be done, basically, blindly, so to say. Serve Hashem. This is what he says to do. If we know in advance the limits, the amount, and so forth, it wouldn't have been the same. It was really, again, reverting to Nasa of Nishma. It's like Tikkun Nasa. They did Nishma of Nasa. This was Vasakin, in fact, to Nasa of Nishma. The Torah presents, the Forshim don't really, they're very speculation, but we don't have Chazalah saying this is what it means. The Torah talks about really two types of donors to the Mishnah. The Lashon is, the Forshim, this is in Kabbalah, the Avo, Kalisha, Shinnis, the Oli Bo, and every person whose heart raised him up. The Chol, Asher, Nodbo, Rucho, and anyone who's had a generous, a giving spirit, also he view, they brought Trumas Hashem to Malachas Olamoed, they brought the donation of Hashem to the Malachas Olamoed, to the work of the Mishkan, but also the Bidei Kodesh, for the Bidei Kahuna. So what are these two categories of people? Again, if you had a Masar from Chazal, you could maybe try to suggest other things, but we really don't. This is a different, it's a little bit of an open to interpretation type of thing. So what are these two ideas? That's the idea. There are some people, there's Hashem, this is the Chorah of the Lechachila, in which you see people who are on fire burning for Chorah Hashem. Very often, if you think of a traditional yeshiva with a mashkiach, this person who's mamish, the longest davening, the longest, he totally, he emanates of Odesh Hashem, Avas Hashem. This is who he is. It's innate. He doesn't have to be convinced. He doesn't have to be told. It's not a question of intuition. That's just who he is. Hashem says it before the word tzi was even out. He's done it. That's one thing. And before, that's the idea. The first time of Nagor Rucho, his spirit drives him. That's who he is. That's his whole persona. The other way, though, other people, and it's not as good as the first, but we find it among the Israel, maybe the majority, in which people go to Hashem and say, I'm a Jew, I have a Masara, this is what we're supposed to do. The person whether he has an intuition through his training, through his teaching, whoever it is, that's his motivation to do it. Some people become true for intellectual reasons, for instance, but that they say, how could it must be created? There must be a direction for the world. Like you see a human cell, any organism, anything, whether it's even inorganic. The complexities, like saying, I took a box and dropped it on the floor and it turned into a computer. It doesn't happen. It's obvious. So there are different, various motivations that people have to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the second type of donor of Jew we're referring to here, which is first of all, Sa'ub Libo, that's his heart, and Lavar Rucho, that's his Ruach. There's something that compelled, something that they made him want to do, it compelled him to do it. He's compelled to do it because that's how we were brought up. That's his Masorah. That's how he knows it's the Emes, his intuition. That's the idea. And the Chorah, that's what we're referring to here. Why does it make a difference? Why does the Torah even specify this? So perhaps the idea is as follows. Because we know in Har Sinai, in Israel, they were, because I'll say, Ishachad Belebechad, they were Har Sinai. There was this Achdus there. It wasn't an Achdus in which there were people who were Kofrim and Rishonim and people who were good people. They did Teshuva there. They were healed there. But still, everyone has different motifs, different emphases in the Vodas Hashem, different stimuli. And that's the idea here, to recreate the Ramban. The Ramban says that the Mishkan was perpetuation, eternal perpetuation of Mana Har Sinai. That's the idea here, taking B'nai Yisrael of various motifs, various emphases in the Vodas Hashem, and uniting them into one, united for this one cause. And the Chor, that's the idea. Because we might end up drop road, it's okay with you. Probably 5 or 10 minutes, okay with you.
Sure, can you just repeat the two types of
people? I apologize.
Can you repeat the two types of people from the puzzle?
I apologize. Yes, sure. Yes, sir. I wasn't clear on myself. I jumped ahead. I apologize. One of the Asher Nisa Oli Bo. His heart raises him up. He's on a high madrega, basically. The person who's on, he's on, there's a phrase in Yiddish, however it is, like on stand off of him or something. The person who's on the Mashiach and Yeshiva told me. That's who he is. He's
what was that expression?
I think I'm staying up in Himmel or something. Just standing in heaven, standing in Shemayim. That's who he is. He's a supernatural being, a person. You see people like that. Baruch Hashem, a lot of Jews like that. That's the way they are. That's just who he is. He's burning. He's on fire. And the second idea is, the spirit is generous. Something compelled him. His intuition, his intellect, so compelled him. This is what I'm a Jew. This is what I'm a Jew. Compelled him. Unite together in the Binyan HaMishkan. And even though they all saw, it wasn't a question of not believing there. They're all at Har Sinai. This is before the Chedah Meraglim. They saw everything. But even a person sees something. It's not a question of not of belief or not, but the different motivations and the personality in terms of how they relate, how they emphasize the Vodas Hashem. The Mishkan's construction, I think, is one of the biggest puzzles I think in understanding the Mishkan. The tzivui of the Mishkan we know in Parshas Truma and Truma Tetzaveh and Tikuna, as well as actually Truma, and the actual construction of the Mishkan as it was carried out were reversed. We know that Rashi quotes the Chazal Mishkan Parsha about it. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was told originally to build the Kelim, build the Aron with the Kruvim, Shulchan, the menorah, the kelim, that was the first thing. And later on, build the perimeter of the Mishkan, build the actual structure, the actual building of the Mishkan, with the poles and the curtains and the rods and down in the sockets, and then the boards across them for the exterior of the Mishkan, the actual perimeter, the outdoor part. But really, starting the kelim of the Mishkan, the kosh kedoshim, the aron of the kruvim, the first thing, working out. That's how it's presented, that Hashem commanded Moshe in Parshas Truma. We know the Besala, though, that he did the exact opposite. You know, Besala first built the perimeter of the Mishkan, and he worked his way in, fed the Kalim. And Rashi quotes the Chazal, Gemara, and Brachos, in which Moshe every Rashi is important, but this one is quoting from a Gemara, and you shall notice, of course. This is on Lam Paraglamichas Pasuk Chaf Beis, which says Betzalel did everything like Hashem commanded Moshe. It says Betzalel also says Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Betzalel did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. And Rashi quotes here from the Gemara Brachos and Minhei, and it says Asher Tziva Oso Moshe Ain Ksiv Kain. It doesn't say that Saul did as Moshe commanded him, but it says, I would call Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, that Saul did what Hashem commanded to Moshe. And the Rashi quotes here, I feel the Devarim Shlo Amar Lo Rabo, even things Moshe didn't tell Betzalel, Betzalel did. Niskima Daito, and Moshe agreed. Even things that Moshe didn't command Betzalel, Betzalel did them, and Moshe agreed. How can this be? Because Moshe, Tziva Lo Betzalel, Lasso, Tchila Kelim, which said Moshe first commanded to the Kelim, first the Aron with the Kruvim and the Shulchan and the Aron and so forth. Then the building, the perimeter. Betzalel said to Moshe when he built it, actually, Minag Olam Lasos Tchila Bais. You first build the perimeter, build the structure. Then you put your furniture in the house. You don't first get a new house. I'm going to put on an open lot, a couch and some tables and some chairs and some beds. Then I'm going to build a house around this furniture. No, you build a house and then you put the furniture in the house. Basala says that's the way we do it. And Moshe surprisingly says to him, "Amalo kach shemati tikashvaku." This is actually what Hashem said to me. Basala, what you're saying is what Hashem actually told me. Amalo Moshe, "Vesel kel hayesu." You were in the shadow of a kadosh baruch hu. Yivane kach tivol yad kadosh baruch hu. This is exactly what Hashem said to me. And also, this is what we did, the Mishkan Tchila, and then the Kelim. So the question is, what's going on here? If this is the case, why did Mishkan present it originally, the Kelim first? Why didn't it present it, so to say, the right order first? Why do it that way? Second thing that's very perplexing is that the entirety of the Mishkan, you know, is presented twice. Why? We have so many times in the Torah in which something is commanded, and then in one pasuk, it'll be, they shall call shirts, Shiva Hashem, call shirts, Moshe. Basically, did it, the whole parak of tzivuyim. One pasuk will say, and they did what it was commanded. All the tzivuyim were done. What? Here, though, the Mishkan, every single thread, socket, board, pillar, curtain, piece of metal, two prokim of two whole parshias, a bunch of prokim. Again, every single nook and cranny is a building of the Mishkan. Why did the Torah not spare some? You can't say why. If you learn from this, the Torah didn't spare some ink, so to say, spare some cloth. Why this way? I think there's only one answer to share this. There's a machlokus. This will work according to both, according to Ramban, it works even better. The machlokus, famous machlokus, based on both Rashi and Ramban. What was the order of the building of the Mishkan? And what was the order of the Chedegel? How did this all develop? So Rashi adopts the position in Tanhuma, which is that first there was the Chedegel, and then again there's Kippur, that was Yom Kippur. Right after Yom Kippur, the next day, Yudal of Tishrei, Moshe commanded Bnei Israel, build the Mishkan. And then they built the Mishkan. Even though the Torah has it, we have Parshas Kisisa in the middle. First we have the command of the Mishkan and Truma Tetzava, then Kisisa, the Chedegel, and then who did they build the Mishkan? However, the way that Rashi says, a mukta mukta Torah from Chazal, there's no chronological order. The Torah presents things thematically, not presents things chronologically. And therefore, really, what happened historically was the Chedegel and Yom Kippur, the Kippur, then the day after that, the next morning, whatever, Moshe commands the Mishkan, they build the Mishkan. Ramban says no. Ramban argues on this. He says no. Originally, the way we have the Torah is how it happened. Hashem commanded Moshe to build the Mishkan, and suddenly, before they could build it, the Chedegel happened. We got Kippur and Yom Kippur, and then Moshe gathered the people and said, okay, now let's build the Mishkan. So according to Ramban, I'm about to say it will work better, but according to Rashi, it'll work as well. So I think it's like this. If you think about it, the Mishkan, there are really two visions of the Mishkan. What are these two visions of the Mishkan? Originally, the Mishkan Chorah would have been represented by the luchos Rishonos, the first set of luchos. The first set of luchos, Moshe didn't have to carve them. Hashem gave them these luchos, they were radiant, there was an objective kedusha, intense kedusha, we can't even fathom what it was like. The Israel were not worthy of them, Moshe smashed them. But that idea, just Hashem gifted us with his kedusha, he wanted to give us the Shekhinah. We had to listen to him, but he gifted us with the Shekhinah, Hashuras Shekhinah among us. The original Mishkan, the Chazal tells us the Kalim represent Hashuras Shekhinah in various ways. Whether it's the Shekhinah itself, whether it's the Shekhinah through providing the material, as the Shulchan, Menorah is the spirituality of Hashem's presence, and the Aron is the intensity of being with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the Shekhinah is represented, Ashura's Shekhinah, the Shekhinah being in the world represented through the Kalim of the Mishkan, the intensity. That's the Kedusha. The greatest Kedusha is the Kalim, starting with the Aron, but they all represent the Shekhinah. That's the original vision of the Mishkan, is Hashuras HaShekhinah. It would be a locus, a makum of Hashuras HaShekhinah that we were gifted with. We had to build it. But basically Hashem said, I'm putting it in your midst, like the Luchos Rishonos. You just don't even have to, you just gave it to Moshe. I'm putting my Shekhinah in your midst. There's Zocha to it. That's what's happening. After that, things reversed, we know. Had Egel, Hashem told us, not only when Hashem gave him the chaper, he says, I'll send a malach, I'm not going to go up with you. Moshe had to plead, we want Hashem, the Kribenu. Hashem should go in our midst. We don't want a Malach, we want Hashem, please go in our midst. We had to strive, we had to desire, we had to really want the Shekhinah, the pine for Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence. And that's represented by the Luchos Shniyos, the second Luchos. Moshe was told, Salacha, carve for yourself. Hashem inscribed, but Moshe had to carve. You must put forth effort. You must seek to be close to me. That's the second idea. You must approach me. And that is the second idea of the Mishkan, approaching a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a makom to approach Hashem, to come near Hashem. And that's represented by the opposite, by the location, the makam, like the base medrash, base message. It's the place. Let's say the base medrash has fewer sfarim, more sfarim. It doesn't matter if we're going there to learn. Peshul has a lot of sfarim, fewer sfarim. A lot of sfarim, fewer sfarim. One sefer Torah, 10 sefer Torah. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're going to the makam to approach a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The kalim in it are not the main thing. It's the makam. And that's the second Mishkan, the second vision of the Mishkan. First vision of the Mishkan that was commanded originally, the kalim are the main thing. Objective, gifted Hashuras HaShekhinah. The kalim are the main thing. The building around it is commanded afterwards. That's just the place to hold the kalim. The second vision of the Mishkan after the Chedegel is we have to strive to come close to Hashem, to approach the Kodesh Baruch Hu, hear us a little keenly tov, get near to Hashem. That's the second Mishkan vision. Therefore, the structure, the chesed of the Mishkan, the perimeter, the building, the binyan, that's the main thing. That's what Bezalel says. Build that first. That's the main thing. The kalim, we'll put the kalim. It'll hold the kalim. But the main thing is the structure, the makom, a makom to come near to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to pursue Hashem, to pursue His closeness. That's the second Mishkan. And that's the idea. Two visions of the Mishkan. The first Mishkan, which is presented in Parsha Truma before the Chedegel, according to Ramban, And that's the ideal Mishkan, you could say, according to Rashi, within the original concept, having an objective Hashras Hashkina among the Bnei Yisrael, representing the kingdom is the main thing. After the Chayegel, the other idea is, that's approaching Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's approaching Hashem, and welcome to approach Hashem. And the Mokum, the binyan, the perimeter, that's the main thing. The kingdom are just contained in it. Both ideas obviously are true. I guess we should. 9:35, we finish our class, right?
9:40.
Okay, great. So I just finish one more thing. Just to conclude this, that I think this is represented. There's a Rashi in Bamidbar, whom is Sifri. Rashi explains there. Maybe I'll just read this for a few minutes. It's more powerful to read it than just to try to say it over Baal Peh. The famous Rashi. Almost all the famous Rashis we have, you know, are from Chazal. Very often it's Rashi's interpretation, his own portrayal of it, but the people rarely say, this comes from Rashi. It comes from Rashi. Rashi wasn't just making things up. He was getting his Masar from Chazal for these things. Either way, so the famous Rashi says, in right there, in the Midbar, this is near the end. This is pasuk. This is actually the last pasuk. This is Pei Tes. It talks about Moshe going into the Mishkan to talk to a Kaddish Baruch, the speaker, to hear from a Kaddish Baruch. We'll see what that means exactly. So, Revo Moshe, and when Moshe came into the Mishkan to speak to Hashem, to hear Hashem. Rashi quotes from the Chazal that there are two contradictory pasukim about how Moshe would communicate with Hashem. And the third pasuk gives the resolve of this apparent contradiction. Pasuk Echad Omer, the first pasuk says that Aver Hashem Elov Me'ol Moed. Hashem spoke to Moshe from the Ohel Moed, from the tent of meeting, Ohel Moed, from the Mishkan. And Moshe was outside the Parochus, the Kurkum, and Hashem spoke to him, and he voiced it out to Moshe. Another Kursa says, I will speak from you above, from above the Aron. In other words, it sounds like Moshe, Hashem would speak above the Aron. Not that Moshe necessarily would go out, but Hashem maybe would speak to Moshe. Moshe would be inside. It seems the opposite. The pasuk here in also in the section of the Midbar is Makri. It resolves this apparent contradiction. Where was Moshe? Where was the voice of Hashem? Shekhinah speaking to Moshe. It says Moshe bo el Ohel Moed. Moshe came to the Ohel Moed inside of the Mishkan. Sham Shemaya Esakol Habom the Ala Kaporos, and there he heard Hashem's voice coming from upon the cover of the Aron, the Kaporos, the Bein Shnekim, from between the two Kruvim. A Kol Yotzei Min Hashemayim. The call comes from Shemayim. The Bein Shnekim. Misham Yatzel Ol Moed, and from there went to Ol Moed. So Moshe went into the Mishkan, and the voice came down from Shemayim to Pina Kruvim, and it went out of the Kodesh Kodashim, and Moshe went inside into the Mishkan to hear the voice. That's the idea. Here, two things. There's the R representing Hashras Hashkinah, the ultimate Hashras Hashkinah. We can experience it. That's Hashem's voice. That's where Hashem is, so to say. We manifest. However, though, Moshe has to approach as well. There are two ideas. This is the Mishkan. Two ideas in the Mishkan. Hashem coming to us, putting a Shekhinah among us, and us approaching Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the two Mishkans. And that's why the Mishkan, and maybe Al Pi Drosh, have presented the entirety, piece by piece, every nook and cranny again. Because there are two visions of the Mishkan. It's not just Kasher Tzivan Hashem, the first thing. There were really two visions. The first Mishkan was portrayed in elaboration. The second one was portrayed in elaboration again. Because there are two different concept, visions of the Mishkan that obviously are both merged and both true. Thank you very much. Have a good night.